We're going to look here at Philippians chapter number 4, and let's read from verses 15 to 19, if you can stand together with me, and we'll read this passage of Scripture. If you're only going to hear one message today, it would be my preference that you'd hear the message I'm going to preach this afternoon. So if you got to choose one, I want you to choose to be here, stay for lunch. Be here this afternoon and hear the message I'm going to preach at 1 o'clock. That's the message I would prefer that you hear. I'm going to preach this morning the message that I think God had wanted me to share in our morning service. But the message I would prefer for you to hear would be this afternoon. And I'd encourage you to stay. If you've not been making it your habit, I encourage you to maybe start and enjoy some fellowship, enjoy lunch with us. If you want to bring something to share, that's great. But we just would love for you to be here and enjoy our afternoon services with us as well. Philippians chapter 4, and beginning there in verse number 15. The Bible says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Let's stop there and let me explain. He's writing to the Philippians, the church at Philippi. Philippi was the city that Paul went to in Acts chapter 16 when Paul saw a heavenly vision and came over into Macedonia. Philippi was the first city that he went to. So that's why first we're sort of in the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the gospel being spread into your region, your area. Ye Philippians know also when I departed from Macedonia. And he would end up, and if we can read the whole story in Acts 16, we won't do it today. But he went to Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. Those are all in the area of Macedonia. He left there and went to the Achaia region of Athens and Corinth, to another region, maybe to the north of there, I think. But it was the beginning of the gospel. The Philippians, what had happened? Paul brought them the gospel. Paul preached to them. People were getting saved. People got baptized. Remember how the Philippian jailer got saved and baptized in his family? A woman by the name of Lydia got saved in her family. And there was others as well. But a church was started there. People's lives were being changed there. And they were excited now about what Paul had done. They were thankful that Paul brought to them the gospel, and they wanted to help Paul get the gospel to other places. And so that's really what is being referred to here when Paul's talking to them. Let's read it again. Verse 15. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia," the region they were in, "no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." At first, they were the first church that got excited about this. They were the first church that said, "Hey, let's help the Apostle Paul. We know he's got needs. We know as he's traveling on his missionary journey, he's got needs and he needs to be taken care of. And he's doing the work of the Lord. He brought the gospel to us and we want to help him bring the gospel to other people." And so they wanted to be a part of that. It says in verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Verse 18, "But I have all in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus." Epaphroditus was the Western Union agent. He was the one that was sent to bring them the supply, the support, the things that would help meet the needs of Paul. He didn't really work for Western Union, but you know what I mean. It says, "But I have all in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you." And notice how Paul describes him. That it was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, I pray You'd give us understanding this morning of Your Word. Please teach us, convict us, Lord, help us, like these Philippian Christians, to have a part in Your great work. Help us to realize that the resources You've placed into our hands, You've entrusted us with them. We are stewards of all the resources You give us. And Lord, help us to pass the baton. When we've been given the faith, help us to pass the baton of faith to others. When we've been given the gospel, help us to pass the baton of the gospel to others. When we've been given resources, Lord, help us to pass the baton so that others can be reached also. Help us, Lord. Help us to have a great part in Your work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice a few things this morning quickly. Number one, I want you to see the commitment of the church. I want you to see how this Philippian church was committed. The first thing we see going back to verse number 15 is that it was a prominent commitment. It was a prominent commitment. In verse 15, it says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." In the beginning, when this letter was written to them, what his statement was true. They were the first church and the only church for a little while that started supporting Paul and sending money and resources and things to help take care of Paul in his doing the missionary work and church planning and so on. Eventually, some others caught on. The other churches of Macedonia did it. We can read about that in Corinthians. But I want you to see this. It was a prominent commitment. It said there in verse 15, "But ye only." But ye only. At the end of the verse. It was them alone for a time. There wasn't others that were a part of it. The Philippian church was the only one in the beginning that was supporting Paul on his journey before other churches also learned to give. One preacher wrote this: "No church so participated with Paul in his sufferings and necessities as to send to his relief." There was no church in the beginning like this church, that they so much wanted to have a part in his sufferings and his necessities and taking care of his needs and helping for the furtherance of the gospel and helping to get the gospel message to other people, that for them it was prominent. For them, they were the only ones in the beginning that were having a part. It was a prominent commitment, "but ye only." It was a persistent commitment. It says, once and again. Verse number 16, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." So it wasn't even just a one-time thing. It was something that they began to repeatedly do. They began to send support or send finances or send things that would help to meet the needs of the Apostle Paul on his missionary journey. It was a persistent commitment. It was something that they were committed to doing faithfully. The Bible tells us this. If you want to look at it with me, 1 Corinthians 16, and we'll come back to Philippians in a moment. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16, turn there with me, and look at verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. It's a little bit warm in here this morning. Make yourself stay awake and alert. Pinch yourself and listen carefully. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, have given instructions to them," and so on, "even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week," that's Sunday, "let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." In writing to a church at Corinth, obviously it was their habit, their spiritual habit. They got together on Sundays. They were in church on Sundays. And it was what they were instructed to do, how they'd bring their tithes and offerings on Sundays. It was something that believers were committed to doing faithfully. We see when we come to the church at Philippi, they had a persistent commitment. It wasn't just a one-time thing, but once and again they sent under the necessity of the Apostle Paul. And so they were regular and they were consistent and they were faithful in their commitment of giving to help spread the gospel. It was a prominent commitment. It was a persistent commitment. Thirdly, I want you to see that it was a pertinent commitment. It was a pertinent commitment. It was something very necessary, something very pertinent, something very important. "Ye sent once and again unto" what? "Unto my necessity," the Bible said in Philippians. What they were doing was something very important to help meet the needs of the Apostle Paul. He would preach, go and be able to preach the gospel, and Corinthians talks about how it didn't cost anybody else anything. There wasn't other people that were having to take care of him. He was able to go to new cities and new places and have his needs met. Why? Because back in Philippi, there were some Christians that said, "Hey, what Paul is doing is important. He brought the gospel to us, and now we want him to take the gospel to other people." And so they did what they could to help meet his needs physically so that he could go and meet the needs of people spiritually. It was pertinent to the faith. It was helping to accomplish God's work, the preaching of the gospel to other places, other regions, other cities. It was pertinent to the servants of God. It was help to meet the needs of God's worker. Paul was God's worker, going and preaching the gospel and planting churches and so on. And it met the need of God's work. It met the need of God's worker. It met the need of Paul. We see the commitment of the church. The commitment of the church. Second thing I want you to see this morning is this. The continuation of the ministry. How were they helping to continue the ministry or carry on the ministry? Well, by their giving to Paul, and I'm sure they also prayed for him. You typically don't give to something without loving something, and you don't love something without praying for something or caring about something. And I think these Christians, through their giving, were partnering with Paul. I think they prayed for Paul. He was in their thoughts and in their hearts and in their mind on a regular basis. And so what were they doing? They were partnering with Paul in getting God's work done. Through their giving to support Paul, they were helping Paul on the front lines. They were back home. They were in Philippi. They worked their jobs. They were part of their local church and faithful to their church. But they were helping to send Paul as a church planner and missionary to preach the gospel to other cities and other regions. You know, what they were doing was very important. What they were doing was very necessary. They were having a part in continuing the ministry. It was the ministry of the Apostle Paul that brought the gospel to them in Philippi when they needed the gospel. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul saw a vision. And he went there. Listen, they were helping to continue the ministry by carrying it on to other people and to other places. Notice what happened as a result. There was spiritual fruit to their account, verse 17. Because they were partnering with Paul, because they were having a part in the work, there would be spiritual fruit to their account. Some people might think, well, it's just the Apostle Paul. You know, he was the preacher. He gets all the glory. He gets all the credit. When he gets to heaven, Paul's the one. He's going to get all the rewards. He was the great apostle. He was the one who preached. He was the one who suffered. He was the one who was in prison. He was the one who went, hey, Paul's going to get all the rewards in heaven. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, notice verse 17. Not because I desire a gift. He's saying, I'm not over here trying to be a fat cat. I'm not Benny Hinn. I'm not somebody that's, send me your money. No, he wasn't trying to get fat or wealthy off them. He didn't want just their gifts. No, he wanted spiritual fruit to their account. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Fruit that may abound to your account. And Paul is telling them, listen, there's going to be spiritual fruit to your account in heaven one day. You will be rewarded in heaven one day. You may not have been there on the front line, so to speak. You may not have been the one that God called or God sent to be that missionary, be that church planner. But you were faithful at home and you were faithful in your local church and you were giving once and again and being involved in God's work and taking care of God's worker. And because of that, there's going to be spiritual fruit to your account. That the people that now have gotten saved in Berea, the people that have gotten saved in Athens, the people that have gotten saved in Corinth, the churches that have been planted, listen, it's all fruit to your account. Spiritual fruit to your account. And there'll be rewards in heaven because of what you did, because of your giving. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, every lost soul who came to Christ through Paul's ministry was attributed to their account. In John 15:8 it says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. In Matthew 10:42 it says, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. In Hebrews 6 and verse 10 it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Listen, there's never going to be anything that you do for the Lord, that you do for others, that you, when you give to the Lord's work, or give to support missions, or give to support a missionary, you support God's work and God's workers. Listen, that's never going to go unrewarded. God sees that. God takes account of that. And there's going to be spiritual fruit to your account. Listen, my wife and I, well, before our church, but you know, since our church began, we started giving to missions through our church from the very beginning of our church. And our church supported missionaries from the very beginning. We started supporting missionaries from first month of the church. And we held our first missions conference that next year, I think in July or something of that next year. And we've tried to love missionaries, love God's work, and love God's workers. And you know something? We maybe have not got to be the ones that went to China or went to the Philippines or went to Africa or went. But you know what? We've had a part in every bit of that work. There's been spiritual fruit when some boy or girl, when some mom or dad has gotten saved in Africa and we gave to support the Warners in Zambia, Africa. Hey, that was spiritual fruit to our account. When we gave to send the Snipes family down to Peru, and they were there for many years before health forced them to have to leave. But you know what? Every soul that got reached, every church that was planted, you know what it was? Spiritual fruit to our account. I never went to Peru. But I went to Peru through my partnering with the Snipes family. We got to partner with them in God's work, and it's spiritual fruit to our account. When we have a part in continuing the ministry, listen, the ministry came to you. You're sitting in church this morning probably because, you know, the gospel has been given to you. You've heard about Christ. You've learned of Christ. You've received the gospel. That's why you're here today, and you love Christ. Now, we're to continue the ministry. Make sure that the gospel is getting to others. Make sure that others are having their great spiritual need met by sending the gospel to them. And what's one of the very practical ways that we do that? We do that through our giving. Because through our giving, we get to support God's work of sending the gospel. We get to support God's workers and taking the gospel to them. When we have a part in continuing the ministry, there will be spiritual fruit to our account. Another thought we see there in verse number 18 is that when we're giving to the Lord's work and so on, it's spiritual sacrifices that are being offered to the Lord. It's spiritual fruit to our account, and it's spiritual sacrifices that are being offered up to the Lord. You say, is giving spiritual? It sure is. I know it's not carnal. If it was carnal, everybody would be doing it. If it was just fleshly, everybody would be doing it. But not everybody wants to give to the Lord's work. Not everybody wants to give to missions. Not everybody cares to reach the world with the gospel. We don't live in a world like that. Giving is something that is spiritual, and it's a spiritual sacrifice that we're offering to the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Maybe sometimes it was literally money. Maybe sometimes it was supplies that he would need. But they were taking care of his needs, physical needs. And notice how Paul describes what their gifts were and their sacrifices and their giving. It was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Isn't that amazing? That the Paul is able to say about to them about their giving. Your giving has been a sacrifice acceptable to God. Your giving has been a sacrifice that has been well-pleasing to God. The offering was providing for his physical needs, but it was also a spiritual sacrifice to the Lord. It was an odor of a sweet smell. The comparison is that of the sweet incense that the priest would bring in every morning and place upon the altar of incense in the holy place in the temple. You know, it puts the matter of giving on a whole higher plane, on a whole higher level, to think that when we give and we have a part in God's work and continuing the ministry and helping to send the gospel around the world, I mean, it's actually a spiritual sacrifice. We are offering up sweet incense to God through our giving. That's awesome. What a way that we have that we worship the Lord. We offer sacrifices to the Lord. The Bible describes it as an odor of a sweet smell. Says as well how it was acceptable, an odor of a sweet smell. A sacrifice describes it as being acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And giving our offerings are a spiritual sacrifice we're offering up to the Lord. Faith promise giving for world missions. When we are seeking to evangelize the world and get the gospel to the world, when we give to missions to meet the spiritual needs of those who are lost, to meet the physical needs of God's workers and so on, we are offering up a spiritual sacrifice to God. It's acceptable. It's accepted. It's regarded favorably by God. God is pleased with our spiritual sacrifices when we use the resources that God has entrusted to us or placed into our stewardship. You know what? When we take the resources that God has entrusted us with and we use them for God's work, we are not just using them for ourselves. We're using them for the Lord. We're using them for His work. We're using them, and we're offering them a sacrifice to God. When we try to reach this world with the gospel, we're meeting the great spiritual needs of others, and God is pleased with it. And Paul said it's a sweet-smelling savor to God. Oh, it's sweet to God. What a sacrifice to Him. C.T. Studd was a great missionary. Wasn't he a cricketer? Didn't he play cricket and stuff before he became missionary and so on? He said this, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him." You know what the church at Philippi thought? God loved us so much. And God allowed Paul to come and preach the gospel to us. We were a city full of heathen. We were all unsaved. A few months ago, a few years ago, none of our family went to church. None of our family knew Jesus Christ. None of our family knew the truth. But now God has done so much for us, and God has changed our life, and God allowed someone to come and bring the gospel to us. Our lives are so different now. Our love for the Lord is so different now. What can we do to continue the ministry? And they gave. And Paul said, it's a sweet-smelling savor to God. It's a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Our giving of resources and finances is truly one of the great ways that we worship the Lord. We're offering up spiritual sacrifices to Him. We see this morning a couple of things. We see the commitment of the church. It was a prominent commitment. They were one of the very first to do so, and they made it a priority in their life. It was a persistent commitment. They repeatedly gave and sent offerings and resources to meet the needs of God's work and God's worker. It was a pertinent commitment. It was for the faith. They were accomplishing God's work in what they were doing. We saw the continuation of the ministry, how they were entering into a ministry with Paul. They were getting to be partners with Paul in continuing the ministry and getting the Lord's work done around the world. And Paul said, there's spiritual fruit to your account as a result. You're making spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. The last thing I want you to see this morning is the covenant from the Lord, the promise from the Lord. Look at verse number 19. This is a great verse, and it's a great promise in the Bible. You go to some Christian bookstore, you'll find a plaque with this on. I've told you this before. This is one of the more well-known Bible verses. Oh, that's a nice plaque. I want that. But you know who Paul makes that promise to? Under the inspiration of God, giving us His Word, Paul gives this great promise to those who are involved in giving to the Lord's work, and really specifically in giving to missions. They're continuing the ministry. They got the gospel themselves. Their lives were changed, and now they're sending the gospel to other cities and other places and other regions. They're supporting God's work and God's workers in doing that. And Paul says, I've got a great promise for you. We see the covenant from the Lord, verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We see there the illustration of verse, the beginning and half of the verse, my God shall supply all your need. Who is it that is the source in that little statement? It's God who's the source. God is the source. It wasn't, well, these so-and-so, they were the source. No, God was the source of everything. God is the one who'd given them everything. Everything comes from God. The health that those Christians in Philippi had was from God. The jobs that those Christians in Philippi had, we know that was from God. The one who would be their source, the one who would supply their needs, that would be God. It wasn't going to be, you know, Joe Antonetti, the manager at my factory. No, it was going to be God that was going to supply their needs. And God that was going to supply their paychecks. And God that was going to provide for them. And God that would bless their harvest and their crops and their businesses and their works and their blacksmith shops and all that. It was going to be God who was going to bless their work. God was going to supply their needs. And so God would be the one who would take care of them. God is always the source. God is the source. And who were these people? They were Christians in the church at Philippi. Listen, God is the source and the church is just to be a conduit. The church is just to be a conduit. In the process of what God's trying to do, that we can have a part in continuing the ministry, the church is a conduit. Things come through the church and flow through the church to help reach the world. They may flow through a church. Our giving comes to the church, but not to the church, through the church to help send out missionaries and to reach this world with the gospel, listen, of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just to be a conduit as a church to get the gospel out to the world. But you know who else is also a conduit? It's me and you. As individual Christians, as individual believers, we are just conduits. That means it's supposed to flow through us. It's supposed to flow through our pipes. It's supposed to flow through us to the world, to reach the world. What happens? As the believers supply the funds for God's work and God's workers, God in turn will keep supplying the needs of the local church. And the individual believer. Let's see, I need Sandy, can you help me? And BJ, you help me? So we've got over here, BJ represents who? He represents God. And Eric represents the Christians. And Sandy represents the church. And Eddie represents the missionaries. Okay, now what does God do? God supplies for you. You get a check from somewhere each month. You get finances given to you. You get a paycheck from your work. You get people that take care of your needs. You get things from your mom and dad. Maybe if you get tour money, and you get an allowance, and you get a pension. I want to have a part of that. I want the ministry to continue. God's got the work. I want to get the gospel out to the world. Gospel of Jesus Christ, and so he's continuing it on. He's continuing this pattern. God is the provider. God is the source, not you. God is the source, and God gives to you. Why? So that you can give through the church and to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he gives. He comes through missions conference time, and God lays something on his heart, and he begins to give that. And faithfully, once and again, he sends under the necessity of God's work and God's workers. Once and again. Once and again. Once and again. It just keeps on faithfully giving as God put it on his heart to do. And it comes to August and there's a struggle and some things came that he wasn't expecting. Some bills came he wasn't looking forward to. His this broke down and that broke down. But you know what? I told God, I promised God that's what I'm going to do and that's what I'm going to do. And he keeps giving it because he loves the Lord and wants God's work to continue. And you know what? God, the source, he keeps taking care of him. Because God looks at that Philippian Christian, God looks at that kind of believer who wants to honor the Lord and has a heart for the Lord and wants to continue God's work, and the source keeps supplying for the Christian. Not the Christian who, you know, if a person doesn't want to have a part in tithing and giving offerings or giving to missions, well, whatever job you got, you don't want to get stingy with God. That's just what I'm saying. You don't want to get stingy with God. You can make it on your own. I'd far rather make it with God and know that I'm living under the blessings of God. And as we're conduits, you know what? God will keep blessing and God will continue to make care of our needs. It's not to stop with the Christian. It's not to stop with the church. The church is just to be a conduit. You know what? The church needs to get involved and needs to send the Tingson family to go to Australia to reach Australians with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the church needs to give to send the good pastors to the Philippines to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the church needs to send the Holmes family to Nigeria to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because God has done so much for us. He's done so much for me. He's done so much for you. And we want the ministry to continue. And so we're just conduits of God's resources and the things He blesses with us. He entrusts us as good stewards that will continue to give. And God, the source, keeps providing. And as we continue giving, Paul says to them,
but my God shall supply all your needs. And God will supply the need of the Christian as the Christian continues to have a part in the Lord's work. And God will supply the needs of our church as the church continues to give. Honestly, there's been times in these 14 and a half years now where I thought maybe God wasn't going to take care of our needs. And every time my faith begins to wonder just a little bit, are we going to make it this next year? You know what? As we have been a church that has continually tried to love missions and love missionaries and love God's work and love God's workers, God has continued to take care of us. Why? Because we're conduits. We're just to be conduits. Let it flow through us. And as the church will continue to give and so on, and as this missionary continues to do the work of God and meet the needs of people, the spiritual needs of people, he can trust God's promises to take care of his needs in doing so. And the church can take care of, can trust God's promise to take care of our needs as we keep doing so. And the Christian can trust God's promise to take care of our needs as we keep doing so. God is the source, man. He's loaded. He is loaded. God will never run out of his resources. Can you pass that back to God? All right. Thank you, guys can sit down. But my God shall supply all your needs. That's how it works. That is what the promise is teaching us. The promise to supply, but my God shall supply all your needs. The source of supply according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God has an inexhaustible supply in heaven. He is the eternal and infinite resource for all things. So often we forget where our supply comes from. Our supply comes from God. It doesn't come from working at IBM. It comes from God. He's the source. It doesn't come from Walmart. It doesn't come from Joe Smith factory. It doesn't come from wherever. Wherever God places us, and if God blesses us in this job or this work or this good position, thank God that He blesses you with that. Thank God for that position. Thank God for whatever job He's given you. If God gives you maybe a better job or allows you to make more money, thank God. But realize He doesn't just give it for you so you can have more money. He gives it to you because He's thinking He can trust you as a steward. And that as He blesses you, say, I want God's work to continue. I want to continue the ministry. God has done so much for me. God saved me. And I want to see it continue. And as we have a part in giving like the Philippian church did, God promises I'll supply your need. You take care of trying to meet people's spiritual needs. God will take care of meeting your physical needs. And that's what God was able to promise here to the church at Philippi. May we be a committed church. May we be committed Christians that say, you know what, I want the ministry to continue. I want God's work to continue. I want to help God's workers to be able to carry out the gospel to other places and so on. And so I'll do my part. I'll do what God continually lays on my heart to do. As we are a committed church, who will commit to giving and reaching the world with the gospel, meeting people's spiritual needs like the church at Philippi did. Paul says, God will supply all your need. And that's wonderful. But also remember that in doing this, he says, your giving is earning you rewards in heaven. It's you're laying up spiritual fruit to your account. You're laying up rewards in heaven, Matthew talks about. You're gaining spiritual fruit to your account in heaven that God will reward you for one day. And when you do that giving, you're offering up a sacrifice to God. You're not giving because, oh, the preacher nagged me, I better give. If that's going to be the only reason for giving, then don't give. But if there's something in my heart that says, I love the Lord, and He's done so much for me, I want other people to know about my Savior. I want other people to know what God has done for them. I want people in Australia and Africa. I want people down in Guatemala to hear the gospel. I want people in Bolivia and Venezuela to hear the gospel. What they're going through and what they need is Jesus Christ. As we have our part in continuing the ministry,
God's covenant, God's promise is, I'll take care of you. I'll supply your need. Try God. Just see if it'll work. I've got about 20, maybe 30 years of experience that says it does work. Maybe close to 30 years ago, started giving to Faith Promise Missions. And God has been very good to me. It does work. Let's have a part. Let's be a committed church. Be committed to continuing the ministry. And trust God's covenant, God's promise that He'll supply.